family home evening.
With Bad Mormons.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Mandy. How are you?
I'm so good.
Really? I'm pretty good. I'm pretty freaking good, too.
I'm so heckin' good right now that I'm gonna take it. Let's cheers our limoncello.
Limoncello.
What's been going on this week?
It's been a good week.
Anything exciting happen?
I went up to the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo.
Ooh.
I went on a Monday, got significantly drunk in order to be drunk all day Tuesday. What else happened on Tuesday?
That orange Cheeto dick stained motherfucker got voted out of office.
Yes, he did.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. Although technically it was yesterday, Hallelujah. Which was a Saturday. They waited till the weekend so we could get crunk.
Right? Yeah, it's gone down exactly like Bernie Sanders said it would, like so many strategists said it would.
Yes.
Just to a fucking T.
To a fucking T. And Trump has played their hand as far as like he won't secede. No, that's
concede.
Not concede. He won't concede. He's going to go to court and try and waste a bunch of taxpayers' money. And another funny thing that I noticed today on Facebook, because, you know, some people are acknowledging that, you know, he lost, and some people are saying that it was rigged. And those people who think it's rigged and that Facebook is monitoring them and, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, silencing them. Like, there's a word for it. Whatever.
Oh. I don't know. Like, Facebook's, like, purposely not posting.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, you know, you're silencing me. Whatever. They're all now switched to another Facebook-like
platform.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called. Like, Peloton, but that's not it. It's like, oh, here's my handle on Peloton. Meet me over there. I'm not going to be on Facebook anymore. It's like, yeah, remember that time there's been, like, two other things that have tried to take over Facebook and it's not working?
Ello.
Yeah, Ello was one of them. There's like a My Time too. There was something like that. It was like MySpace, but not really.
Yeah.
I still get notifications. So and so wants to be your contact. I'm like, I keep forgetting to delete that up.
Yeah.
But I just think it's hilarious. They're like, oh, fuck you, Facebook. I'm out. I'm gonna go start this whole other thing that I can, you know, share my QAnon shit.
My favorite is all of the Trumpers that say they're going to move to Mexico now.
That is fucking hilarious.
It's like, don't you see the irony?
They don't get their. I don't want to say they're not smart enough to get it, but like, because they're not all stupid. Some of them, a lot of them are. I get in trouble because I keep sharing the memes of them saying, you know, white people got good genes, and it's J-E-A-N-S, and it's like, oh, God, you're stupid. And then I get some Republicans like, we're not morons. Stop trying to make us look stupid. I was like, I'm not the one who's writing racist shit on cardboard. Like, sorry.
Well, let's remember, too. Let's go back to the whole social dilemma
right. And
the other one that I can't remember off the top of my head, that the news that we see is engineered towards
what we want to see.
What we want to see, exactly.
Right. So Bill Maher last night, me and Craig were watching it, and the guy who did the documentary for The Social Dilemma was on, and he was saying, he's like, a husband and wife who have the exact same views are still not even getting the same content. Because just the minuscule amount of things that are tweaked to be specific for you is what you keep seeing. So if you are anti-abortion, you're just going to see dead babies and like late-term abortion, whether it's true or not. And then all the people that agree with you, they're all you see in your feed. So you're just like, okay, I think this way. All these people I know, love, and trust think this way. How is it that all these morons don't get it?
Right.
When in fact, it's because it's only you guys who see the exact same thing, whereas I only see Trump as a moron. He's destroying this country. He's trying to be a dictator, which he's actually going. You'll see in the next couple weeks when he goes to court and doesn't leave. And then I'm actually kind of scared. I don't want to even put it in the universe, but like, is he going to talk to like North Korea and Russia and be like, they're stealing this election. Do what you want. You're like, just floodgates open.
Right.
Because well, if he goes down, country's going down with him.
You know, finish your thought. We're all in our own echo chambers,
right.
You know, and that, I think that's important too.
It's true.
That everybody's aware of that. And who fucking knows? Like I'm really excited, as are so many people, that he's gone.
I slept so good last night.
Yeah.
Like slept, and I didn't even realize I wasn't sleeping good. And I just felt so good.
Yeah. And it's kind of like that idea of anybody but Trump has been fueling people for so long. But I feel like honestly, you know, and it started with listening to Joe Biden on Brene Brown's podcast, but right. he seems like a really decent human being right. and like a nice guy and a pretty, I mean, fairly, yes, he's like a Democrat,
but he's
a
middle.
Fairly middle
yeah.
Democrat, which is why a lot of Republicans actually voted for him.
Right.
I know, actually know a lot of Republicans that voted for him. And right. actually, while we're talking about it too, I just want to make sure that we give a shout out to the fucking Asian community,
right.
the Black community, Black women right. especially.
Dude, Stacey Abrams,
the Latinx.
Whatever she wants, she gets. That girl fucking rallied in Georgia. She registered something like 800,000 voters. And it's like, that shit, your vote, this election just shows how much your vote matters.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Like, everybody's like, oh, my vote doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, actually, it does.
Yeah, so thank you, especially thank you, Black women, for doing the right thing when fucking white women did not.
Right.
Only 45% of white women voters voted for Joe Biden, which is so disgusting to me.
I just, it shouldn't have even been this close. And actually, I have a lot of friends who are Republicans that are Trump supporters. And it's hard to have conversations with them because, again, you think a certain way, they think a certain way. And especially if it's online, it's hard to have a, like, decent conversation with somebody. But, like, we don't all think you're morons. Like I don't like the division. Like, that shit's got to stop. But, like, critical thinking is so important. And people just copy this copy and paste culture of, oh, I've read a quarter of this, I agree with it, copy paste, put it on my wall. Half the time you don't even read it. I'm 100% guilty of doing this. And yeah, it's like, I'll do your research. It's easy to do. Just this whole Facebook politics shit, they need to be regulated.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about, like, what's going on with the country and the election and the president, because we have 75 more days to watch this shit show drama 100%. Unfold.
100%.
But I just wanted to make sure that we said thank you to those voting blocks, because they right. really absolutely 1,000% decided the election.
100%. But I mean, and also a thanks to the Republicans who just...
That's what I mean, yeah. The Republicans, yeah. the Asian community, the Black voters, the Latinx right. voters, you know, all of you guys are the ones who made this shit fucking happen. So thank you
from two white
girls.
Drinking limoncello.
In Orange County. Thank you so much. We fucking love you.
Yes.
So, that being said, we haven't done a lot of recording this week because we've been glued to... I've been glued to Twitter and CNN.
I've also been glued to a lot of the internet, but I also was out of town. So,
we didn't do a lot of recording, but we did, we have this one on deck that we recorded with Erica a few weeks back, that has got a lot of funny stuff in it. So we decided to go ahead. We were on the fence about whether or not we should put it out there because we kind of talk a little more shit than we normally like to, but
right.
it's funny, and we're going
to
do it.
And if the person who's listening is going to get offended by that, you need to calm down.
So enjoy this recording that Charlotte and Erica and I did a couple weeks back. I think, Charlotte, actually, you already repented for something that they're about to hear.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you're right. I know what you're talking about. Cheers.
So cheers. Enjoy, and we'll see you next week.
Somebody wrote in Mormon Enlightenment, bragging about being lit or blazed does not make you a cool ex-Mormon. It makes you a druggie.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Hello, my name is Elder Anderson, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book.
That's the exact tone every time it opens up.
Oh, yes. It was such a good show to watch. It was, like, so great in the theater, and you were exactly like my, you know, $200 ticket, so good job.
I'll never forget seeing that for the first time, because I've seen it a shitload of times, luckily. I've been fortunate. But the first time we saw it was at the Pantages. Have you ever been to the Pantages?
No, but I know what that theater is, yeah.
It's just like this epic, amazing, beautiful old theater. So you're like, you've got the like epic
amazingness of the theater you're in, plus the epic amazingness of the opening set, you know, of the, I don't know what you call that, but like the tabernacle and the whole stage design with the Moroni on top and everything, which just fits perfectly in this, like, I don't know. It was just blew my mind. It was such a good show.
It was such a good show. My friend Luke is in the he's in the tour of it, the national tour. So I got to go see that, and I knew some of the musicians who were in it too. I had only seen it the one time. I kept on I'd get a ticket and then I'd give it to somebody who was LDS because I'm like, you really should go see this. or who had been LDS. I'm like, this will be cathartic for you. Please go and have an experience. Cause I mean, I still like it, but I don't need to cleanse my soul from the Mormonness as much as, you know, they might. Is that a reindeer behind you? What am I looking at? Oh no, there. It's your microphone. I'm that drunk.
You lit, girl.
I thought you had some like awesome taxidermy, like some Black Sabbath kind of taxidermy.
Well, speaking of my Satan worshiping days, this was left over.
From when we heard Satanic Panic and we ran with it.
All right, so welcome, Sister. I feel weird calling you Sister. Oh, I can't say your last name anyway. Sister Erica. Sister Erika.
Erika.
Welcome to Family Home Evening. The Parable, brought to you by Tammy's fucking mom.
She's got it going on.
If what is going on is like some sort of mental breakdown directed towards raising children, then yes, she has that going on.
I feel a little weird. So we were talking earlier. I feel a little weird telling stories about Tammy's mom without Tammy, because I know she would be the first one to jump right in and be like, oh yeah, let me tell you some fucking stories. But it's hard to get her on the phone and on the Zoom and on the podcast. And I think she would appreciate hearing the stories about her crazy mom from other people's perspectives. So we're just going to jump in and tell some Tammy's crazy mom stories.
Sounds good. Okay, she has a problem. She can call us and we'll think about deleting it.
No, she'll love it. She'll love it.
Good.
So I'm going to start by saying my very favorite Tammy's mom memory is, so Tammy's mom, let's just set the stage. Tammy's mom's very religious to the point of unhealthy zealot religious. Like Tammy wasn't allowed to wear certain clothes. She wasn't allowed to.
Sorry. I didn't think that would be as loud as it was. I'm so sorry.
Were you peeing? What happened?
It was an aerator for the wine. Go on.
So she wasn't allowed to wear certain clothes. She wasn't allowed to eat certain foods. Like they had to have only like hippie natural foods, even worse than our dad.
Was she LDS?
She was, yes. Very, very LDS to the point of like almost fundamentalist LDS. Actually, now that I'm saying this out loud, she was FLDS because Tammy, I'm sure you remember this. Tammy and I found out that both of our mothers were sleeping with the same polygamous guy at the same time, and we met each other. We knew each other on one of the compounds, and we didn't realize it until we talked about it when we were teenagers much later.
Oh, that's...
remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So now that I'm saying, oh, she was like crazy, like those FLDS people, it's because she was those FLDS people. Full circle. Anyway... The story that I wanted to tell that I remember so very fucking clearly was I was a very bad influence on Tammy. Her mother disliked me very much, and I encouraged her to break away from that psycho hellhole she was living in, come out and live her life and take acid with me and you.
So this is your fault.
This is my fault. So on one night in particular, we had taken some LSD. And I don't know if you guys remember, you probably don't remember, Charlotte, you're too young, but Erica, do you remember, I used to have this phone, it was like a clear phone where you could see the inner workings
of
the inside.
Yeah, and they were kind of neat.
Yeah, and it would light up when it would ring and stuff. It was like very 90210.
Yeah.
I had one of those too. I sold it on eBay just like a few years ago.
Smart.
Yeah.
So one night Tammy and I were out taking acid and we came back to my house to sleep. And this was when I had the back bedroom before I had moved down to the basement bedroom. So you could just kind of walk in and out through the porch or whatever, and you didn't have to disturb anybody. And Tammy's mom started calling the house, and every time she would call the house, the phone would light up and we were high and we were having the fucking best time watching the phone light up. So we would let it ring for a while, and then I realized, oh, you know, it's ringing up throughout the whole house, like my dad's gonna wake up, and it's like the middle of the night at this point. So I went and unplugged the other phone. There's only one other phone in the house in the kitchen, so I unplugged the cord from that phone so that nobody would hear it ring, so it would only ring in our bedroom. And she would call and call, and we would just let it ring. And then eventually, like after it had rang 15 times, I would pick it up and I'd be like, hello. I know Tammy's there. I don't need to speak to her right now. Click. And this just went on and on. Like, I mean, from middle of the night darkness to the sun was coming up in the morning all night long. And you can see how, like, teenagers on acid, we wouldn't get tired of that because we're like, it's a fun game and the phone's lighting up and we're right. Just really loving it and having laughing every time we say something to her mom and we hang up the phone. And then eventually, but I don't know how this woman kept doing it all night long. She's like a grown-ass adult who needs her beauty sleep. All night long this was going on. And so finally, like, the sun's starting to come out. It's like the, you know, bleak gray pre-dawn time. And suddenly the phone stops ringing. And I'm like, okay, she's gone to bed. And I was like, I have a feeling like she might come over here. Right. Like, she knows
I'm surprised
here.
You didn't think of that earlier.
You know, Tammy never actually got on the phone. And I never actually said Tammy was here. The most thing I ever said was like, hello. Or like, you have the wrong number.
Shit like that.
But like, you know, me and Tammy were both listening, like one, each of us had one ear on the phone trying to hear what she would say. And so the phone stops ringing. I was like, Tammy, I have a bad feeling, like she's going to come over or something. So I went and hid her in the back shed that was
Casey's shed.
Yeah, not all the way back there, but like the one right before that. It's like dad's old exercise room.
Yeah.
And not 10 minutes after, oh no, I had her back there for a minute, and then I was like, your mom's gonna come, like, you should probably leave. And like, not 10 minutes after she left, the fucking sheriff showed up at the house.
Oh, shit.
Oh man, my dad's gonna be so pissed. And my dad comes banging, you know, coming through the back door, bangs on my door, opens the door, and he's like, Mandy, get out here. And like, he didn't let the cop in the house, the cop was still on the front porch. Okay. But he made me come out to the front porch to talk to the cop.
Hi. Saucer eyes.
Well, it was morning, so
okay,
it was
coming
so
down
bad.
A bit.
I completely forgot about that part. But yeah, he's just like, you know, we're looking for so and so. I don't know what time I've seen her. I don't know. I'm innocent. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And my dad's like, you haven't seen her? She hasn't been here. And I was like, you can go look. Go look in my room. Go look anywhere. She's not here. I haven't even seen her since school let out 10 years ago or whatever it was. And that seemed to like satisfy the cop. He didn't want to actually come in and look, but like, he literally missed her by like 10 minutes.
Oh wow.
Funny.
So that's my favorite Tammy's mom story.
As a parent though, I'm kind of like, yeah, that's reasonable.
right. I actually was taking that perspective too. I was like, well,
but would you just stop? I mean, this was probably 6 hours straight of calling.
Oh, I would have done it after
just
get in
the car and come over and like find it.
I think I would have called twice, and then with like the second hello, I would have gotten in the car and just driven my ass out of there. But
and that's why Tammy's mom is not a sane person,
right?
No. My Tammy's mom story is Tammy got in trouble and got very, very grounded. And I think she got like privileges taken away. It might've been her car, or it might've been the ability to go somewhere. And it was over bullshit. It was complete bullshit. It was over clothes or something. And we smoked cigarettes at the time, and I smoked in my car, and many people smoked in their cars, and we ended up gathering the cigarette butts from stinky, stupid teenagers smoking in their cars and vans and things, and filling bags of them and then driving over to Tammy's mom's house while Tammy's mom was in the house. And quietly, ever so quietly, in the middle of the day, spreading cigarette butts all across her front porch and lawn and ashes and just stinky, horrible cigarettes that had gotten stale and sat in cans on people's porches. Gross. For years. And and beer bottles that had cigarette butts in them, so they were like soggy with beer and cigarettes. We dumped all of those on Tammy's mom's porch and yard.
Do you remember also pouring the pentagram into the lawn and killing the lawn in the shape of the pentagram?
I heard about that story. I didn't know that was Tammy's mom.
Yep.
Oh my God.
It was either gasoline or bleach, right?
Oh.
It was bleach. I do remember that. Yeah, it was bleach.
It was at the same time. The same time we put all the cigarette butts in the yard, we put a pentagram shape with bleach in the yard and killed the grass in the shape of a pentagram.
I do that to our neighbor, but with salt. We're like, oh, I think my sister did this once, and I think she did it with salt. So we did like a pentagram in salt, but it just didn't
killed
work.
The whole yard. Probably.
Yeah. I think it did. No wonder. I mean, that guy was a dick, so he deserved it. But like, no wonder that guy hated us.
Yeah, Tammy's mom was like one of the Satan, you know, the crazy afraid of Satanists people.
Right.
So the pentagram was a perfect, you know.
Like, oh, the kids, they're worshiping in the yard.
Yeah, exactly. a little piece of flair. It's those little details, the details that really pull the theatrics of the piece together. But the cigarette butts,
like, did Tammy do that to her own mom, or did you guys just do that to her mom? Like, is Tammy the one who picks it up?
Right? With us. It was Tammy's idea. It wasn't our idea. It was Tammy's ask was for us to gather all this shit together, and so we did. And I just remember taking my car over, and somebody else's car came over. And
probably Melissa.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
We had so many cigarettes.
And I remember, too, we were very worried about Tammy's little brother, because he was, like, 8 at the time, and she was always fretting and, like, concerned and worried that, you know, because she could take care of herself, but, like, she didn't want to leave her little brother behind in the clutches of this fucking crazy woman. And I was actually just talking with her, like, when we started doing this podcast. She texted me a couple times and was just like, oh my God, these stories are crazy. Like, have fun. And she was telling me, she's like, yeah, I'm in touch with my brother. He lives in Seattle now. He's got like a wife and a couple kids, and he's doing really well. So I just wanted to throw that in there, since we were all so worried about him turning out to be like some sort of like a victim of abuse or whatever. But yeah, he's doing it.
Oh, good. What is Tammy's mom still alive? Is she still crazy somewhere?
Still alive. She's still crazy somewhere. I think she's still in Utah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all we got to. I wonder if Charlotte's going to do a podcast one day, talk about her her crazy mom and her mom's crazy friends.
Right.
She might. She probably will design a computer game where crazy mom does something. I'm not sure. She still likes me right now. I haven't fucked her up yet.
Well, I didn't start not liking my mom until 25. To be fair, Erica's daughter's name is Charlotte, so not to be confused with me. But I'd say, as my own Charlotte talking for myself, definitely was a mama's girl right up until about 21-ish, like making excuses for her a lot. And then about 25, I realized, oh, wait, that's how narcissism works, and none of this shit is normal. Love you, Mom. Still crazy, though.
Your mom is a narcissist, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I don't know. We can cut this later or whatever, but she was telling me and Mandy we needed to have a podcast all about narcissism, and failed to make the connection that she's a fucking narcissist. And like, but it was like, Mom, have you listened to our podcast? We don't really talk about stuff like that. So, oh, no, I don't want to listen to you just bashing Mormons all day or whatever. And we're like,
so you really haven't listened to it, have you? And I'm like, that's good. Don't. You're not going to like it. But if I know that she's not listening to it, I might get a little more loose-lipped about some of the shit that I might be judging her about.
Yeah, she was literally like, okay, I know you guys are doing a podcast. This is what you should do. You should do an episode about narcissism. You should get Laurie on because Laurie really knows a lot of stuff. And she could talk, like, she's read a lot of books and things. And she could talk about narcissism. And I'm like, where the fuck is this coming from? Like, what are you talking about? She was, like, upset at our brother's girlfriend because they had gotten in a fight. So she was like, she started
she's
a
like, whole... Richard's girlfriend is a narcissist. Yeah,
she's a narcissist. We need to save him. You guys need to protect your brother. She started a special video chat that was called Save Richard. So after some time of her talking about, because immediately when she said, she was saying all this stuff about narcissists, I was like, oh fuck, she's like heard us talking about her.
But we've hardly said mean things.
But we, like with Casey on and stuff, we've talked about narcissism and like, you know, in the fundamentalist Mormon shit and all that. So I was like, I'm sure she's put it together that we're like talking about her, that she's a narcissist. Turns out, no, in true narcissist fashion.
Right. I had no idea.
It was all about how she wanted to basically like badmouth and belittle somebody else and use our podcast as the method as in which like a to catalyst. Do it.
Yeah,
the catalyst. Perfect.
Right.
Oh my god, my battery is gonna die, and I don't know what happened to my other battery.
Oh no! Quick, any more Tammy's mom stories?
I don't know Tammy's mom.
You're lucky. She's a fucking freak.
She is a fucking freak. Maybe in Cache Valley, even.
Maybe, yeah, who knows? Maybe with polygamist, maybe not.
Oh, God.
Maybe with Ron Green, that fucking polygamist. Right.
So weird. So fucking weird.
Is Ron Green your mom's polygamist?
Yeah.
Well, she had three, apparently, right? That's what we kind of covered. I tell people, because... I don't know. I talk to people daily for my job, right? And it's a lot of small talk. And there's somebody who's been coming to me for years, and I could have sworn I told her all of these fun stories. And she was just like, I was like, well, you know, my life has been so crazy. They say I should write a book. And we're like, let's just do a podcast instead. And she's like, kind of looked at me like, your life has been so crazy. Like, I doubt it's that interesting. And I was like, oh, you know, because, you know, my mom married the polygamist and then my cousin's cult and then, you know, my stepdad being insane. And then she's like, and my mom giving away our house to the neighbor. And like,
we haven't even talked about Terry Payne.
Right. Oh, yeah. We were talking about her boyfriend from high school that was never really her boyfriend, but that she gave away our multi-million-dollar house to her neighbor.
Oh, my God.
So it's just like, she's like, oh, wait. No, I think her whole demeanor changed. Like, oh, maybe you should write a book. I'm like, nah, I don't really want to, but, you know, podcast.
Oh, crazy moms.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, I'll splice those into a nice little parable, a little mini-sode.
That'll be fun. That's a good one.
Yeah.
About torturing somebody's mother.
So this parable, damn it. So this parable is brought to you by cigarette butts.
And bleach. And Satan.
And the satanic panic.
And whatever that phone was called that lights up with the neon gears and whatnot.
I had one of those too, but mine had a fish inside of it in the bottom part. Cool. So you could like turn it. It was clear and it had a fish.
Nice.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. No, there's a bunch of shit that I had in the 80s, 90s that I'm kind of sad that I don't anymore, which is specifically a collection of Swatch watches.
Oh yeah. That shit's worth so much money now.
I know. And I don't know where that shit went. There's a lot of things.
I bet you my fucking Motley Crue Dr. Feelgood vinyl, original first press vinyl, would be worth some money right now, too.
I think it would. Oh, God. Do you remember that leather fringe jacket I had that everybody ripped, like, pieces off? Uh-huh. I loved that jacket. And then people kept on, like, ripping pieces of it off to make necklaces and bracelets and shit. God damn it.
Yeah.
Now my coat is naked. Kids used to steal our shit. Do you remember, did that happen to you and Logan? Like, you'd totally have friends over and all of a sudden, like, you'd have clothes missing or...
Yeah, you know who that was?
I don't want to say her name because I feel like she's a responsible adult, and I don't want to, and I know a lot of people who listen to this know who she is, so I'm going to edit out her name, but that was...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's exactly who I was going to
say. Yeah. She's the one who stole everyone's shit.
So yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's normal for friends to steal your shit, but my friend Nicole full on stole my shit. Like I can't, I remember I woke up and I was like, oh, I have money behind my head. I counted it. It was $32. I woke up. It was 15. So like, it was no like, what money did I put there? Like, no, I full on did that. And then when I was going through my make or her makeup, cause I was trying to find some eyeliner, she had mom bought me this stupid belly chain that had a marijuana leaf that was made out of silver on it. So my marijuana leaf was in her makeup bag. And I'm like, that fucking bitch stole my shit. Like, and so I was like, I never stole from her, but she stole from me all the time. And it turns out she was just hanging out with me so she could hang out with my sisters who were cool and jump on my trampoline. And then I think we actually became friends later, but like initially, I don't think that we were actually friends for any good reasons.
The person whose name we're not saying, ended, she stole my ID and went to Confetti's.
That's right.
Yeah, what we had mentioned before. She stole my ID and went to Confetti's with it and met up with some guy from the Army base.
Yep.
And gave him my phone number.
Oh, rude.
Uh-huh. And my name. And so I had this guy. It's like, well, what we had was amazing. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you are.
I totally remember that.
That's right. Yeah.
I also remember having a big party at my house one of the times that my dad went down to St. George to run the marathon. And I remember trying to get into my bedroom, my back bedroom, and it was locked. And I was like banging on the door. And I heard her say, I'm trying to lose my virginity in here. And I will never forget that until the day I die. And every time I see her posts on Facebook with like her and her husband and their new cat and their house and their fancy, you know, responsible adult life, all I can hear is her voice saying, I'm trying to lose my virginity in here. Good Lord.
Oh man,
kids, stupid.
Yep, kids. Seriously. Well, and we all had like very, very weird, I don't know.
We all had our shit.
Right.
We all did stupid shit. Yeah. I sent you that picture of me at Girls' Choice with Rob, right?
Oh my God, I already had that picture. I have a physical copy of that picture.
Okay, that's hilarious. So do you see how pissed I am though?
Uh-huh.
So I had just learned that, so this is how up my ass I was. I had just learned that he had just gotten out of rehab for doing heroin, and I didn't know that. And I was like, well, I wouldn't have asked him to a dance if I would have known that he had gone to rehab. And so that's my pissed face. It's like, well, you didn't tell me you had gone to rehab or else I wouldn't have asked you to Girls' fucking Choice, okay?
And he's all sheepish, like, you know, trying to look cute. And you're like, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I look at that and I feel bad all the time. Because when he got out of jail for dealing drugs, mm-hmm. like, I made up for that by being like, I'm going to be your friend. I'll come visit you while you're on house arrest. That's fine.
You know, he came out to Hawaii not too long ago, a couple of years back. Did I tell you about that?
On a tour, right?
Yeah. For I should really edit that out.
For fill in the blank.
For a dancing violinist. You may or may not know. That was actually super fun to hang out with him and like rehash old times and like,
just oh, nice.
How, like, he basically made this career out of something that he learned how to do, like, through hookups that he made in prison. Which, you
that's
know.
A, I'm glad he's sober, too. I mean,
one of those times he went to prison was because of his acid and Tammy's pound of weed. He took the blame for all of that and went to prison.
Oh, my God, really?
You owe him a sympathy card.
We've made our amends with each other. We wrote many letters while he was in prison.
HJ in a back alley?
No, absolutely not. He is like my brother. Ew.
I'm sorry.
Also, yeah, I can't actually think of him in a sexual way either. now that I think about it. No. I probably really would have tried at one point.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah. I was into that. Even with all the stinky hair choices.
But... Oh, the dreads. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the ultimate bad boy.
I don't know. Dreads is, on a white dude is a deal killer. Sorry. Yeah,
well, not when you're 16.
No, not when you're 16 and living in Cache Valley, Utah. But I liked him because he was a bad boy. But like being out of rehab for heroin was too bad for me. Mm-hmm. That was
a bridge. Like, too
I far. Have a tolerance for all these other things, but not that one.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, go figure. I wish I had any. I don't have any more Tammy's mom. This is a worthless episode, and you'll have to just shove it.
Parable. No. It's a parable. We're cutting out all the good shit and piecing it together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, piece of cake.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I was dating a homeless dude?
No, Charlotte.
I was like 15. I know I've told the story. I just don't know if it's been cut because we were too wasted. I was 15 and there was this guy that had mutual friends with my friends. I don't know why. It made me think of your friend, but I was just like, oh.
Good old homeless Rob.
What was his name? It doesn't matter.
Jesus.
I named him Jesus, but that wasn't his actual name. Like, we just referred to him as Jesus because he had long hair, white guy, tall.
Blue eyes.
Homeless.
You know, Jesus.
Walked the earth with no shoes. And in true fashion, we were probably hanging out at the coffee shop Natalie's that turned into a Starbucks later. But, you know, and then he asked me, he's like, do you want to be my girlfriend? I'm like, yes, I do, because I'm 13.
And how old was Jesus at the time?
Oh, God, he had to have been like 16, 17. Ew. Yeah, it's real icky. Luckily, nothing real gross happened. I did tell this story because he's the one who, I only actually hung out with him like 3 or 4 times. It was that first time, and I think we made out. Like, that definitely happened, but I... over the pants kind of stuff, you know, like you do. Mm-hmm. And then the second time I saw him, we were down at Warehouse Records hanging out and he did that close your eyes, open your mouth, you'll get a big surprise thing. And it was acid and I had to go to home. And so then I stepped in a laundry basket. And then the third time I saw him, we were at our friend's house who was in a band called Lethander. I'm just gonna say it. I won't say the lead singer's name.
Nails are cute.
Thank you. So yeah, we were over at fill in the blank's house and the bassist was like showing me some attention. I'm like, oh, hey Taylor, whatever the fuck his name is. I think Taylor or Tyler, I don't really know.
Tyler.
Let's say Tyler.
It's very 90s. I like it.
Right. And Jesus was sitting at one end of the couch and I was sitting at the other end of the couch. And I swear we only made out like 3 or 4 times. And like by the end of like the session of band music,
the jam sesh,
Taylor comes up to me and he's like, or Taylor, what did we say his name was?
Tyler.
Tyler comes over and he's just like, oh, are you guys like together or like what? Because he's sitting on one end of the couch. I was like, yeah, I don't really know what's going on with him. Like, I think it's over. You want to make out? And like, I went and made out with him because I was a real slut. I didn't sleep with these people because I was 13, but I made out with a lot of dudes.
Don't shame yourself for that. I made out with so many dudes. My hands found their way to so many gentlemen's genitals. I don't even shame yourself.
No, and I don't feel bad about it, but it is just like, oh, God, how, like with coronavirus, I think that really just was like, God, I made out with a lot of gross people. And it's true. I didn't realize at the time when I started dating Jesus that he was homeless. But by the time I hung out with him that last time, the whole acid thing, I wasn't a big fan of because I like to know when I'm taking my own drugs. But like that didn't piss me off that much. Cause I'm like, oh, free drugs. But I definitely was like, wait, he's homeless. And that was enough for me to be like, maybe I don't want to make out with you anymore, Jesus.
I'd like to just interject here and say that gentleman's genitals would be an excellent name for a a spin-off podcast that we could do. Or a band.
I can't sing. You can sing. I can't sing. Okay. I can get a tambourine.
I'm just saying, there's a project, there's an artistic outlet somehow, somewhere, named Gentleman's Genitals that we need to do.
Before this airs, we're going to have to buy all the rights to it. We got to get the
podcast, or the Instagram, I'm going to see the Twitter.
If there's a URL.
Gentleman's Genitals.
Do it now.
This is how creative ideas are born. I really like the idea of a spin-off podcast called Gentleman's Genitals.
Me too. Me
too. Is it just about stories of fumbling under bleachers? And
I'm fine with that.
It could be about anything.
Blowjobs in cars. Cause
it could be about anything we wanted.
There is a Reddit thread called The Gentleman's Genitals. Gentleman's Genitals. I want to make sure it's spelt right.
Struck gold here, Erica.
Oh, yay. All those hand jobs paid off.
Yeah.
Horrifying hand jobs.
It cannot be found.
Would you look at that?
That's 10.
Yay.
Enhanced error page. Cox.
That's good.
Let's go ahead and take a screen grab of that.
Listeners, I'm glad you're so here, still here with us on this ride. You're here when Gentleman's Genitals, the website, was born.
Okay, I am going to die. I have 2%. I love you.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. That was very, very fun. Charlotte, you make me miss my teal hair.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Apple
Podcasts. Like, subscribe, share with your friends. Tell everyone about it.
I'll do your
hair. Hey, guys.
Okay, bye.